get it.
Podcast.
Yeah, so recently, my wife and I, we met with my son's teacher, and we had a little bit of concerns in regards to how things have been going. Now that he's in the third grade, this is a testing grade. And when you start talking about high stakes testing, that gets tied to that kid. I can look at some of my students right now and I could tell them what they scored where they were in second grade.
Yeah.
As far as gifted and talented, as far as what percentile they're in and everything else. And one of the things that probably bothered my wife and I when we met with the teacher was when we were asking, hey, when are they going to start multiplication? Right now, they're still doing adding and subtracting in her class. And she said that right now she doesn't feel that the class is ready to move forward and that they'll technically they're ahead of the pacing guide. And the pacing guide basically is, for those of you who don't know, the pacing guide is when they give you the standards for whatever the content is, and ultimately you want to get to the end of that standards by the time testing would occur. And if you're able to maintain that pace, then the goal is by the time you get to the testing, you should have covered all of the standards and the students can then demonstrate what it is that they learned.
Yeah.
Well, if she's saying that the children are not ready and that technically they're ahead of the pacing guide, she's saying, hey, we don't have to get into multiplication and division and everything else. We're ahead of the pacing guide, so we can kind of take our time for those students. The problem that my wife and I have is, where's the differentiation in the classroom? Mm. If a student is ready to move forward, why are you holding him back?
Yeah.
When he's ready to move, what you need to learn how to do is differentiate and meet the needs of your students. And I don't think a lot of times in education or in the classroom, we're always meeting the needs of our students.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. That's a tricky one because you got a lot of like moving parts and you got a lot of people kind of like demanding that, you know, like are dictating what the pacing guide is. And,
yes.
You know, I guess it's supposed to come from a good place. It's like, you know, we're just trying to keep everybody together and move, you know, move the class, you know, as a whole, because it's probably easier to move the whole unit than it is to like, you know, probably like hand pick a few students. I guess that's where gifted and talented and all these other programs kind of, you know, come up in the play at certain schools. So it's like, I don't know, man. I guess the other thing you got to look at is like the extra work the teacher has to do. And we already know how teachers are like feeling it. And it's like, man, I ain't really trying to do. You keep telling me to differentiate and do all. Who going to differentiate my check? All right. that's what it comes back down to, you know, unfortunately. And I mean, not only does it come back down to on the teachers, and it's just like, I got all this work on me. My pay doesn't reflect my work. And then on top of being like a teacher, and I got to be a psychologist, a therapist, a big brother, a big sister, mom, a dad, an uncle, a firefighter. I got to do all this stuff. I got to put out fires all day long and you're only going to pay me X amount of dollars. But then on the flip side, this thing starts with money.
Yes.
It's like the people that are dictating the pacing guide and the standardized testing and all this other stuff is like, money is money driven. It's like the people that make tests is like, you know, oh, we have to pay to give these tests to the students. We got to pay to use these specific books. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, we kind of like need an overhaul of the entire education system.
No, I agree. I think the biggest issue that I have with the pacing guide more than anything is that you're moving kids based on what policies states, not necessarily on when the child is ready to move forward. And I think of an analogy where when your child is first learning to walk, I remember when my son was about 10 months old and we were trying to get him to start walking, right? Yeah. He's crawling. First, you know, kid has to sit up by himself. First, they got to hold their head up by themselves. Mm-hmm. Then they learn to sit up by themselves. And then when they sit up by themselves, then they learn to kind of scoot or to crawl. From there, from the crawling, you learn how to pull up. And then when you pull up, you learn how to shimmy down and, you know, and then you can stand on your own 2 feet. And then once you stand, you start, you know, start kind of moving forward in that walking. What happens in education, a lot of times they just put the kid down and say, walk. And the problem is that we are not letting the child dictate when they're ready to move forward and when they're ready to walk. Essentially, what you would love ideally in the classroom is for the students to dictate when they're ready to move forward in the learning process. I can move forward with the pacing guide and I can get to the end of my standards by the end of the school year.
Yeah.
And my kids didn't learn a single thing.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got through all my standards. I followed the pacing guides. They didn't learn anything because I moved forward before they were ready for me to move forward. And what I think should happen is the kids dictate when I move forward. Hmm. I remember the first time I received an F in school. I was pretty much an AB honor roll student, you know, throughout. School was pretty easy for me if I just showed up for class and everything. And I remember it was my senior year in high school, and I was taking trigonometry. Mm-hmm. I didn't need trigonometry. I took it as an elective because I was trying to get ready for college.
Yeah.
And I remember I was not grasping the concept. I just could not grasp the concept of trigonometry.
Yeah.
And I remember I would go to tutoring. I would come during lunchtime. I would stay after school and everything for tutoring with my teacher. I wasn't understanding it. And I remember when we said, as a class, we told her, I don't understand this, because she said, you all, we need to be in the next chapter. We were in chapter one. And she said, we need to move on to the next chapter. And she said, because the teacher, whoever the math teacher was next door, they're already getting ready to finish up chapter two. And we're still in chapter one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When she said that, I said, I'm done. Instead of you worrying about meeting our needs and helping me out because I'm trying and I just don't understand it, you're worried about what the other teacher is doing next door and where he's at and his pace. And I said, you don't care about me.
Ooh.
You don't care about me.
Come on.
And from that, that was the first time I ever received an F, and I didn't care. Yeah. I really didn't care, because I was like, you don't care about me. I don't care. And I think that's what happens with a lot of our students. Instead of us taking the time to say, hey, you know what? My kids are not ready yet. Before I move on, let's just, hey, for those who are ready, here's your next assignment. This is the next chapter. You can go forward. The ones who are not, let's continue to work with them. I used to say 80% is our goal. That was my goal for all kids. 80% is our goal. My goal was to get 80% of my kids at 80% mastery. Mm-hmm. That was my goal. If I can get 80% of my kids at 80% mastery, then the other 20%, I can bring them along. I can bring them. But if I have a majority of my kids failing, I don't need to move. Yeah. They don't get it. Yeah. Because if things build upon each other, if they haven't grasped the foundation, how are you going to sit there and get to the point where you're able to build the roof and everything else at the end of the year?
Mm. Oh, man, that's big, man. Yeah, I'm learning. I'm learning, you know, I just learned some stuff about, like, how to, you know, move my classes forward. Like, just because I've done that sometimes before, like, because just for the sake of time and where we're supposed to be, like, I've, you know, maybe sped through a chapter.
Yeah.
And some classes you can do that because everybody's in sync with one another. But then you have a few, or even if it's just one person, it's like, all right, let's go back. And so, me teaching my life insurance licensing class, you know, it's a crash course, 8 chapters, 2 days. That's we knocking this whole process out in 2 days. And for some people, for a lot of people, that's a struggle. But what I just, you know, caught from you is, like, you know, it's hard to send people ahead in my arena. They don't know where they're going. And now some people just by reading, they can, you know, retain information and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One thing that we will do, like if I'm not speeding through and I'm always concerned about the entire class, I'll say, all right, y'all, she didn't get it or he didn't get it. Let's all go back to help this person.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, if we all get it, because we all in this together kind of situation. That's how it is in my classroom.
Yes.
But I like that approach, what you were talking about, because that's the same I did as a basketball coach. Why are we, the whole team don't need to focus on layups. You need to focus on layups.
Yeah.
So, all right, y'all go do this because y'all know how to handle down your own. Yes. I'm going to go work over here with you personally to make sure that you know the difference between your left, like finishing with your left hand and finishing with your right hand, because everybody don't need this right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff, man.
Now, Mike, I want to ask a question. I mean, I'm just a regular parent. You know, you guys are in education. Y'all do some great stuff, man. I commend y'all on all of your work. But, I mean, just to have a better understanding of, like, the standardized testing. Like, shouldn't, like, that standardized test, like, eliminate some of those problems?
Honestly, with the standardized test, I think it's a joke. I think the standardized tests are biased. I don't think that they truly demonstrate what a child has learned. I think what happens is you wind up going, you look at proficiency, but you don't take into account growth. So if I have, let's say, for example, a lot of our students are going to be below grade level, especially now, right? You're almost talking about 2 years, 3 years since the last time they were in a regular school year, right?
Yeah.
A lot of my seventh graders right now, the last time they had a regular school year uninterrupted was fourth grade, right? Mm. Because fifth grade is when COVID hit. Fifth grade is when COVID hit that March.
Yeah.
And then sixth grade, a lot of them were virtual, and now they're here in seventh grade. Mm. So you're talking about 2-3 years behind, right? So I get a student, let's say that student is reading on a fifth grade level, sixth grade level, right? Mm. We get to the end of the year, we have state standardized testing, they're at not met, okay? Mm. They're gonna look at it and they're gonna ding us for X amount of kids or X amount of percent of students who are not met. What they don't take into account is this kid who was reading on a fourth grade level when I got him at the beginning of the school year, I now have him at a sixth grade level. They're still not at seventh grade level. They're still not at grade level, but I grew that child 2 grade levels in 1 year.
Mm, that's tough.
That's where I have an issue with the state standardized testing. That's where I have an issue with how they tie test scores to the schools, because they don't take into the account. They don't take into all of the factors into account.
Yeah.
A lot of our schools, even the best schools, when you're like, oh man, this, look at the test scores, this school is great. A lot of times they're riding on the backs of your white, upper socioeconomic families. If you break down those sub demographics, that's where you see, okay, are you really meeting the needs of the kids? Overall, your test scores look great. When you start breaking it down, ooh, look at your little black boys.
Man.
Look at your little black girl. Why are they at 30%? Your school, look, 60% pass. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. But these little black boys, 20% here, 30% there. So what happens is you're riding on the backs of your magnet kids. You're riding on the backs of your gifted and talented kids. Mm. You're not meeting the needs of all the kids. Mm. And that's why even with the state standardized tests, it's skewed. It's a joke. You can make the numbers look however you want to.
Yeah.
Bottom line is you're not meeting the needs of all your kids. And the problem is that when you're tying these test scores to dollars, and each child, don't get it twisted, each child, there's a dollar amount attached to each child in the schools. When you have that tied to money, then that becomes the overall driving force. Don't get me wrong. Teachers are going to do their job. They're trying their best. They're trying to teach. They're trying to educate. And I don't think that that's the intended intent. But I think that that's what happens, because If you come into my classroom and you tell me I'm 2 weeks off on the pacing guide, but I'm trying to tell you, hey, my kids are not ready, but you stressing this pacing guide, that's where I have the issue.
Mm. Oh, man, that's real. That was an episode of Good Times that you just described. No, seriously, when Michael failed an IQ test and the dude told the Evanses that Michael was never going to be anything or nothing like that because he failed the IQ test. And Michael's defense was, the only reason I failed it was because this is culturally biased.
It is.
I don't know what these things are. I think like one of the questions were, put the following in order, like a teacup, saucer, plate, table, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard to answer the question when you don't even know what a saucer is. Yeah. And then Florida Evans was like, now that I think about it, we didn't have no saucer under the plate either, you know, to put on the table. And James was like, we didn't even have no table. Yeah. Oh, man, that was insightful, man.
Oh, man, that's sad, though. Good Times is the show that played, that aired back in the 70s.
Right. Ooh.
And we're still having those same conversations now as far as...